That's right. Happy New Year, everybody. It's a new year, and it's another year of Meet Me at the Diner. That's right. I'm Ann Eller right here with you this afternoon. And this afternoon, it is my great pleasure to have Eric Williams with us. He was the former park ranger over there at 96 National Historic Site, spent many years over there, has been very avid in reenacting and history and whatnot. And after he retired, he got into painting, and he's been doing an excellent job. In fact, I understand you even had the honor of working with Skip Shelton taking lessons. How you doing today, Eric?
Well, doing very well, thank you. And Skip was my great inspiration and my teacher for 5 years, and I owe so much to him.
That's right. So had you always, just out of curiosity, had you always been interested in painting?
Well, somewhat. I used to like to, when I was even in elementary school, just color and maybe get some colored pencils and draw some things, sketch through the years, doodle, but never seriously until I retired 5 years ago. And I began to know Skip better at that time, and he encouraged me to come to the studio one Tuesday afternoon. He said, "I guarantee you, you'll come back."
And was he right?
He was right. I've been back, I think, every week since that first Tuesday.
Wow. So what do you like to paint? Any type of anything in particular?
All types of subjects. I love seascapes. Probably my favorite are seascapes because I love the ocean so much. Mountains, barns. Currently working now on painting a couple of still lifes. Fruit. Flowers, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some portraits recently as well. And I just, whatever comes along the way or fancies my interest, I will try it.
Now, what's your favorite medium to use?
Well, probably acrylic, mm-hmm. but I've been using oils lately. About a year ago, we started an oil class at the Art Center. And I didn't know anything about oils at all. And I've learned so much and how different it is from painting with acrylics. But probably my preference still is for acrylics.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people may not realize is that Shirley, Skip's wife, kept that studio open, and y'all still meet there and still get together and paint every week.
We do. Not for Shirley. I don't know what we all would have done. And after Skip passed away, we wondered what our future will be as a class. But we really bonded as a class, and we've kept the class together. We've even taken on several more new classmates as well in art, and we meet every Tuesday, sometimes paint Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Thursday is usually our day we spend at home doing our home chores, but usually Thursday only.
You know, that is so terrific. And, you know, when you think about the experiences that we get to share in life and to find a new love, I think is so terrific, Eric. You know, who knew? I remember talking to you when you were getting ready to retire. You didn't know what you were going to do.
No, I didn't. And this this has been, the Lord has been so good to if there's anything within me that's a talent, it's because God placed it there, and I give him the credit for it. But it's a lot of fun. Enjoy it. Love painting. I could do it every single day. It's just a lot of fun in retirement.
That's good. But you retired from the 96 from the parks, and but you still love history.
I do.
And you're still doing your reenacting and doing you've got your own medicines and all the things they used back in the day, right?
I do. My main focus of my interest in reenacting is 18th century surgery. I do that, and I've been acquiring more original surgical instruments lately, like an original amputation saw, original amputation knife, those types of things.
Things that you just need.
Well, you do, and it's one of those things it gets in your mind, you have to have it. And boy, it's just, I'm kind of bad for that sometimes, but especially when it adds to my hobby. But the latest thing I've acquired is a bone syringe, an 18th century bone syringe from England. And it's made out of, I presume, beef bone. And it works very smoothly. All the parts are there. But it's, of course, used for cleansing the ears or the nostrils as well, a small syringe. But things like that really catch my interest.
Oh, wow, that is so cool. Well, you know, I always love seeing you at events and everything where you are sharing this knowledge and everything. I think it's really great. But because of that interest and because of your interest in history, when it came out in the Index Journal, I think it was back on the 17th of December, that Mayor Wilburn Adams was raising money to change out the monuments for the World War I and World War II monument that say colored and white, it kind of piqued your interest, didn't it?
Well, it did. I looked at the paper that morning, and what really piqued my interest was, the main headlines, Altering the Past. Now, for any historian to see a statement like that, get your interest up. Don't know what it could mean until I read the article, and I've kept the newspaper close at hand, just referring to it on almost a daily basis, and just being reminded of how important the past is to us.
Well, what do you think? I mean, how important is the past to keep up with? Let's set aside any legal or anything. Just why is the past important, Eric? Working with the parks, you know a lot about this.
I do, and it was a pleasure to work in a historical park. In fact, each one of the parks I worked in was a historical park all through the years. But just learning and being ingrained American history, local history, how important it is. Because if we try to gloss over, and sometimes there are parts of history that aren't nice and we don't like. But if you don't remember the bad parts of history, then not to be cliche, but you may very well repeat it sometime.
And we're supposed to learn from history, aren't we?
We're supposed to learn from it, absolutely. Yeah. It's a great educational experience, an opportunity to learn from history. And we don't need to gloss it over. We need to take it as it is, and we've moved on as a society in so many ways. We know that, but still, to look back and see where we came from is hugely important for a country, a community, and it's just extremely important.
Well, it's like even the 96 Park over there. All the things that went on over there, they weren't all positive things.
Oh, absolutely not. We had hangings over there. People were beaten for political beliefs, and of course hung for political beliefs. Just a number of things that occurred there. And I'm reminded, Ann, one of our last regional directors in Atlanta, an African-American regional director in Atlanta for the Southeast Region of National Parks, he said that he wanted every, and it was like 50-some national parks in the Southeast Region. Mm-hmm. He sent a memo out as soon as he became regional director. He said, I want every park in your stories that you tell, whatever it is, you tell all the stories. You tell them. Some may not be pleasant, but we're in the National Park Service. We're the nation's foremost agency for relating cultural, natural history to the country, to our citizens. We learn from it. He said, what the stories? He said, parks, you tell the stories, and you tell all the stories. And I always remembered that. And I think we should tell all the stories.
I think you're right, Eric, and it's kind of is perplexing how all this started down the path that it started going down. I mean, I understand that from the article that was in the Index Journal. In fact, I should tell you that Mayor Wilburn is going to come on Wednesday afternoon. We're going to discuss all sides of this. I thought it was such an important issue that we needed to do this. But he's going to come on Wednesday afternoon. In fact, we'll be doing the show from 3:30 to 4:30 because he has a meeting that he has to go to. So make sure that you tune in early on Wednesday afternoon to hear my discussion with Mayor Wilburn Adams. But this is what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be talking about how did we get here, why are we going there, and what the consequences should this happen, if it can even happen, because there actually is a law protecting the monuments, etc. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back at Facets Gallery. What are we talking about? We're talking about the mayor's talking. Actually, I think he's gone beyond talk, Eric, because he's raising money to change out the tablets, I guess we should call them, the bronze plaques that have the words colored and white. Now, that was for World War I and World War II. Mm-hmm. By the time we got to the Korean War and the Vietnam War and all the other conflicts, that has been changed. Now they're just all listed together. And I think it's very interesting, Eric, too, because when you talk about history, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and the majority of people, I have to say we shouldn't change history. And I know that, of course, that we really can't change history. In fact, you were talking to the Preservation Commission on this. What are they saying about this?
Well, I've talked a couple times, placed phone calls, actually three times, to the State Historic Preservation Office in Columbia. And of course, it's their duty, their task, this kind of thing. And they are there to, and they're a state agency to preserve South Carolina properties and South Carolina history, and guard against threats to monuments, to properties.
They're not supposed, they take care of if anything's defaced or any, all of that aspect.
That's what they're there for, in advisory capacity. And we worked with them, actually, with the National Park Service. And each state has a State Historic Preservation Office. And there are some things that we were intertwined about the history of 96. Mm-hmm. And, for example, the National Park Service, when we wanted to get archaeology done at the park, with the National Park Service archaeologists, we had to get permission also from the State Historic Preservation Office because, of course,
it's in
South Carolina,
yeah,
which I understand that definitely. So, they serve a great role and a great purpose. In the phone calls, Ann, just briefly, I'd spoken with a deputy State Historic Preservation Officer. She was quite concerned, did not know about this effort to
change out the plaques.
To alter the monument. The office there is concerned about it. She cited, along with another staff member, cited a state law, and that law is South Carolina Law 10-1-165. And if I could read just a couple of sentences
it. I've got it right here, too. Sure.
And it concerns protection of certain monuments and memorials. It says, quote, "No Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Mexican War, War between the States, Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Persian Gulf War, Native American or African-American history monuments or memorials erected on public property of the state or any of the political subdivisions may be relocated, removed, disturbed, or," that key word is, "altered." Now, this is state law, and it's clear. The State Historic Preservation Office said it's clear.
Sure.
And that being said, what the person told me from the State Historic Preservation Office was alternatives should be considered. The memorial should be left intact based on law. It is state law.
Right.
And they said, look at alternatives.
Such as a monument beside it.
Absolutely.
Something along that line.
And I want to say I understand the argument on all sides about, the word colored. I understand that. But this memorial was erected at a time when the social history of the United States in the early to middle 20th century, segregation was the order of the day. It's just the way it was. It was erected during those times. And, of course, it reflects the monument, gives us the cash of Greenwood County, and it does say white and colored, and I understand that. However, in 1948, President Harry Truman integrated the U.S. Armed Forces. They served together. On the one bronze plaque, it has Korean conflict and Vietnam conflict casualties listed together.
So now, right there we see a change.
It's a huge point.
Right.
It's a huge point. And that's why the monument serves as a great historical and educational learning tool. It's there. You have the social structure of the United States reflected there in the armed forces, and as time, social times got better, integration came along, the servicemen served together, you have the casualties listed together. It rectifies itself. It tells a great story. It should be left intact and not altered. And philosophically, that to me is enough to leave it. But it should not be altered, definitely not.
Well, and I mean, it really is against the law to do so. And, you know, where does it stop? That would be the next question. Where does it stop? Do we, if it is offensive to the Revolutionary War, do we do away with what happened in the Revolutionary War or in the Civil War? I mean, where do you stop when you start changing history?
Well, it's a very good question. History stands. We read about it. We learn from it. It teaches us every day, just exactly like the Greenwood War Memorial teaches us every day for those who stop by and read it. You'll learn something if you stand there and read that memorial. Therefore, it should stand. Not because we're trying to promote any offensive words. We're not trying to do that at all. Society has moved on from there. But it's a great teaching tool, and let's leave it the way it was. And to me, the great travesty would have been if it had not listed those African Americans who gave their lives in World War I or World War II.
Absolutely.
That would be the travesty.
Absolutely.
That would be, not that we could change it because of the law, but that would be a reason to change plaques. This is not a reason to change plaques.
So if they had been omitted, then from your feeling, it would have been right to go back and add their names from that standpoint, from a historical standpoint.
Absolutely right. They served their country, sacrificed their lives for their country, their state, and definitely have listed their names somehow and done it proudly.
Sure. Well, you know, I just think about the Tuskegee Airmen who were so proud of their service and were as a team. And, you know, you think about the proudness of all of our country people who served our country, any color, how proud they were to serve. And even today, how proud, I mean, we see this from the fallen policemen there. They were proud to serve. And that is important to note. So,
well, absolutely.
This is one of those issues that is just kind of hard to understand. I do want to say that we are going to have Mayor Wilburn Adams on Wednesday afternoon to discuss this. Some of the things that have been put forth since this came out, he's trying to raise $15,000 to replace the monuments, I believe. The last time I heard, he must have raised about $12,000 because he was like $3,000 short. The last time I saw anything on it, I believe it was on Greenwood Calendar. So I guess the money could be used for a granite or some type of monument beside it, talking about the history, maybe making reference to the fact that this is how it was then, this is how it is now, how we moved on. In fact, 1948?
Yes.
When Truman changed that. So there could be something as a going forward, but it should not be changed. And that is your position on this. Eric, I'd be interested to hear, what have people been telling you, just in general, what have you been, because you had your article in the newspaper that was on the 28th, mm-hmm. and the Index Journal also came out with their opinion on the 28th on that same day, which was a Sunday, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I've received phone calls at home from people who support this position to keep the monument as it, keep history as it is, as it stands. Don't alter the memorial.
There you go. Hey, I tell you what, when we come back, we're going to pick this up. If you have a question, you'd like to give us a call or a comment, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. This is something that affects our community, so I certainly hope you'll weigh in on it. Give us a call, 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
That's right. How you doing this afternoon? Hey, we're talking about a kind of sticky subject, but one that has to affect actually all of us. It's about the fact of changing history. You know, and as Eric has been talking about this afternoon, history isn't always the way we would like it to be remembered. In fact, you were talking about the park that is the Mansur National Historic Site, where they actually kept 120,000 Japanese Americans during World War II. Mm-hmm. They could have just wiped that out and said that never happened. But?
Absolutely. Now it's a National Historic Site. And one of their statements for the historic site there is, quote, Manzanar National Historic Site was established to preserve the stories of the internment of nearly 120,000 Japanese Americans during World War II and to serve as a reminder to this and future generations of the fragility of American civil liberties. And our memorial, our war memorial in Uptown Greenwood serves as a reminder to this generation and to future ones of the very same thing, American civil liberties. It shows that how by the early and mid 20th century, it was limited for some folks.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1948, it changed for the American military. And of course, American society, we mentioned earlier, when the integration came along, we changed for the better as a society. And the monument reflects that. It reflects it. So therefore, I keep saying we should not change, we should not alter the monument. It should stand as it is. Absolutely.
And, you know, I would just be curious, Eric. I mean, I haven't really investigated this myself, but as he is the mayor, is he acting in an official capacity? Is this something that's been brought before the city council or county council? Do you have any idea?
I just know that what I've read in the index, which is on the December 17th index, indicating that the mayor said he had talked with city council members and county council members and that he was receiving support, and he said he knows he's doing the right thing. I've talked with someone on city council, and they are not on board with it. So it's at least mixed. It's not 100%.
Okay. But this hasn't come before city council or county council. And whose monument actually is that, Eric? Do you know? Is it, because I haven't investigated this, is it the veterans monument? Is it, whose monument is it? Do you know who paid for this monument originally?
Well, that's, yes. In fact, on the monument itself, the American Legion. Legion Auxiliary mm-hmm. is noted on there. And one of the American Legion posts in Greenwood, this was in 1929 now when it was erected, but it says something else interesting.
Okay.
Not just the Legion Auxiliary and the Veterans Organization, it also says erected by and in support of the people of Greenwood County. So therefore, that's an interesting statement.
Yes, it is.
So it was a veterans organization, but also the people of Greenwood County as well. And as far as who maintains it now, I am not sure.
Right.
I am not sure. I heard from someone that the mayor had approached a couple of the American Legion posts in Greenwood and had mentioned about doing this and apparently got the green light. That's what I had understood as well. I could be wrong, but that's what I had heard.
Correct. Well, this is very interesting. The other thing that's very interesting is that Mayor Adams would like to have the plaques replaced by Martin Luther King Day, which is January 19th. So that's a very short mm-hmm. period of time when something like this could come to pass. So that's 2015, January 19th. That's 14 days away, I do believe.
Absolutely. It's coming very quickly. And I do hope that the mayor will reconsider. And let's look at alternatives, Ann, for this. I'd like to see maybe a committee formed of veterans organizations, historians in the community, the mayor's office. Let's sit down and talk about this. Let's talk about the concern and leave the memorial intact, but let's come up with alternatives, such as, and the National Park Service did this all the time, and it's one of the last projects I worked on at 96 National Historic Site, were trail wayside exhibit signs. And they're signs that are placed there, professionally made, and with pictures and the narrative you want, and it could easily explain why the memorial says this. And for those who have those concerns about the memorial, it would be a grand alternative. What it would mean is it would show how much our community has grown and that we've moved on.
Sure.
We've moved on. This is the 21st century. And it would show that we cherish the past and what the sacrifices of all that were made according to the memorial, yet we've moved on. And now we're a better society because of it. But I think something like that would be excellent, but not to alter the historic monument.
That's ripping out your heart, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's just to take it down and then replace new plaques up there that's just changing it. Plus, folks, according to this law, the protection of certain monuments and memorials, it says that it's against the law to do this. And that was a law that, the provisions of this section may only be amended or repealed upon passage of an act which has received 2/3 vote on the third reading of the bill in each branch of the General Assembly. And that, we might add, has not happened. This law stands. This is the law. So in order to change these things, you would actually have to have a change in the law. So we're breaking the law here, aren't we, Eric, change it?
No, I'm no attorney. I am not, but it sure seems.
Protection of certain monuments and memorials, yes.
And so does the State Historic Preservation Office that I've talked with.
Right.
They say the same thing. The law stands, and they noted that the 2/3 vote, I think that's how important they consider this law.
Right.
It would be really, very difficult to override this law. Therefore, the law stands. It should be abided by in this instance.
Sure. Well, in any instance.
Absolutely.
It's fine to add something else to it on the side, separate to, but it's not fine to change the original monument. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Eric Williams. Where do you want to weigh in on this, folks? You got a question or a comment? How do you feel about it? Do you think we should just change the monuments and just wipe out the fact that this is how it was during World War I and World War II, or should it remain the same? I certainly hope you'll give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Let us know what you think. Mayor Adams said, I think if history offends people, it needs to be rewritten if possible. Gosh. That opens up a whole can of worms there, folks, if we do that. What do you think? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us, 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Well, we have gotten some calls in here. I'm glad to hear this. If you'd like to weigh in on it, give Rhea a call, 229-7984. We're here with Eric Williams this afternoon, and we've been talking about the plans to alter the past by changing out the plaques on the monument in Uptown Greenwood, the World War I, World War II, where it said colored versus and white versus just people of Greenwood County. Bill Cervenka. Bill is a great patriot here, always doing the flag ceremonies here in Greenwood. He said the monument should stay the same. Give sign as it is a requirement of history. So it is just as you said. It is what history. And how can we go back and read history books, Eric, if in our own community we don't see these things? How can we understand? You know, I think it's may not be something you're proud of, but to be able to see the monument and then kids are studying history or whatnot, or we're studying history, and we go back and we can understand why that was up there, why it is important.
Well, absolutely. And we mentioned earlier in the interview that I've been involved in living history for about 35 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing that, living history of World War II and Revolutionary War era, it gives a dimension to history that a lot of people won't get from reading it in a book. You know, history books also are changed all the time. And I haven't read a school history book in a while, but reports I hear say that maybe George Washington maybe has a paragraph. Or Thomas Jefferson, a few sentences.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
It is really scary. The founders of our nation. But again, the Greenwood War Memorial stands every day in Uptown Greenwood in a prominent place as a great educational tool for those in Greenwood here and for visitors coming to Greenwood. It stands there, and it tells the story of those in.
If nothing
wars.
Else, it should make somebody question, why does it say this? You know, if nothing else, to make somebody that maybe wasn't aware understand, you know, and maybe go check out, what was this really about? Because I think a lot of people today wouldn't know that. So to see that in a bronze plaque right there might make you say, I need to understand, why was it like that?
Well, absolutely. And to go back and do some research and find out. And as generations come on the scene and pass, all the more important to be able to have that touchstone with the past that the Greenwood War Memorial is. And it's absolutely that. It's a touchstone from 1929 when it was erected that day. A day of pride for those families of those black and white who served and lost their lives and who served and came back home.
Sure.
To commemorate that. And it's a touchstone, and it should not be altered. Definitely not. Let's keep it as it is. It's a great educational tool. Let's look at alternatives to this.
I like your
this
idea.
This is not the way.
Right. I like your idea about an additional monument or additional, like you were talking about, the history with pictures and whatnot that lets people know where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. It's kind of a living history, like you said. I think that's a great idea. We had a call from Lloyd here this afternoon. He says, you cannot change history. Don't go against the law. So we've had a couple of calls in here, and I know we've had more calling in saying basically the same type of thing. So I think it's something that definitely should be discussed. It shouldn't just be done. Right now we're talking about January 19th. I don't know. The mayor is coming on Wednesday afternoon. Gracie just woke up from her nap. The mayor is coming on Wednesday afternoon. I'm sure we'll have more information from him about how this is developing, whether he plans to go forward with this. But evidently, even though history can be painful, history is what it is. It is something that was, and we should not just hide it under the rug or take it off the wall and erase it. We should learn from it, like you said, Eric.
Well, and there was in Thomaston, Georgia in 2011, something similar came up at that time at the War Memorial in Thomaston, Georgia. And Mr. Kenneth Carter, he was a Vietnam veteran, African-American gentleman, and served in the Navy. His view is, and they had the casualties on that memorial too, is listed as white and colored.
Mm-hmm.
He says that such monuments are necessary reminders of an ugly racial history. It may not be pretty. It may not be the way we want it to be today.
Mm-hmm.
But to erase it And we don't want to do that.
No, we don't.
We don't advocate it, but it's part of our history as a nation. And that's what we preserve. That's what the National Park Service preserves.
Well,
it's
know,
what the State Historic Preservation Office is there for, to make sure that monuments like this don't get altered.
If it had been something great, that some glorious accomplishment, would we be talking about this, Eric? Would we be talking about changing a glorious accomplishment?
No,
I don't think so.
You'd leave it as is.
As is. We just had a call from Gerald Pitts, a.k.a. Abraham Lincoln. Yes. He says he tries to be historically accurate in all his presentations, though history may not always be politically correct. It happened that we have changed just more on. And he said, interesting, the NAACP has not changed their name.
That's an excellent point.
That is a very good point, Gerald. Thanks for bringing that up to us this afternoon. So these are the things to consider. As I said, we will have Mayor Wilburn Adams on with us Wednesday afternoon. I do say that you should check out what the law is. It's 10-1-165, Protection of Certain Monuments and Memorials. And it says quite clearly, it lists everything from the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, World War I, World War II, and more. Korean War, Vietnam War, etc. And it says that these monuments, African American history monuments, or memorials erected on public property of the state or any of its political subdivisions may be not be relocated, removed, disturbed, or altered. So there you go. When you talk about this, I know, Gracie, you're trying to make a point. Thank you very much that you concur with this. But you've got to be quiet. It's not your time to talk. That's right. That this is important. This is a law right here on the books right here in South Carolina. You know, Eric, is there anything else you'd like to bring up here this afternoon?
And a couple of things. As far as local support for keeping a memorial intact and preserving it, the Greenwood County Historical Society president says absolutely it should be kept intact.
Mm-hmm.
Do not change it. It's part of our county's history. The director and CEO of the South Carolina National Heritage Corridor is alarmed about this, when she found out about it, and believes alternatives should be considered, and she is going to contact the mayor's office,
okay.
The National Heritage Corridor. One more thing, and this is extremely important. This is 2015. We're in the midst, or very soon will be, of the World War I centennial. Now, there is an effort nationwide in the U.S. to document, it's called the World War I Memorial Inventory Project, and they're assembling an online inventory of all World War I memorials and monuments in the United States.
Wow.
Now is not the time to change Greenwood's World War I memorial. It should be rather celebrated, not changed. And again, the point is, Ann, this is not the way we don't change history. History cannot be changed. It stands. We learn from it, move on. That's what we need to do with this. We need to sit down, have in reason and deliberation, and have an alternative or alternatives, look at this, and let's address the issues that people have, and let's move on from this and keep the memorial intact.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Eric. I think that history, as you said, cannot be changed. It is what happened, and let's remember, and, you know, I think this is an excellent point. The NAACP, through all these years, has never changed their name. So that is a statement right there. So as we move forward here, do want you to know Wednesday afternoon, 3:30, we will have Mayor Wilburn Adams on with us. We talked to him today. He's going to be here from 3:30 probably till about 4:15. So we're looking forward to hearing his opinion. I certainly hope that if you have a position on this, that you will contact the mayor. You can contact him at his office. I don't have the number here, but you certainly can contact him. And Eric, if somebody wants to talk to you, how should they get in touch with you?
They could just send an email. It would be great. Eric_Williams@embarkmail.com.
Okay, you want to repeat that for him one more time?
All right. Eric_Williams@embarkmail.com. Or my home phone number is 864-223-2222. 0541.
Okay. Eric, I really appreciate you taking time, and, you know, I know your concerns, and I think it is something that we should just not rush in and do. I mean, the 19th of January is right around the corner. The last I heard, the mayor was within $3,000 of having enough money on hand, and I certainly hope that this can be stopped and discussed. Thank you so much for coming out today.
Thank you very much, Ann.
All right. You know who you're listening to. Yes, you're listening to Gracie here this afternoon, WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you.